that's what it, we're going with.
That's art, baby. Yeah. That's how art works. Liz, do you not like art anymore?
I realize Liz, now that I'm mic'd up, you. Oh, no. Now that I'm mic'd up, you can hear how much I ugh. Because it's a lot.
That's true, yeah.
So wait, we're gonna find out, we're gonna discover how much you secretly hate everything we say.
I really don't care.
Secretly. Learn a lot of dirty little secrets.
Don't care for much of anything that's going on in this scenario.
I mean, that's fair.
Not only do I have to stay up all night talking, I have to do it talking to you.
Isn't it good to have friends?
I don't know. I've never had one.
No.
I just burned you.
You've got three.
You're a lot nicer when you're almost dead.
I'm a different bird.
No.
I think with that...
So there's going to be bonus content that's 6 hours of this, right?
That's what it feels like. And I'm for it.
For sure. Well, I was actually, I was going to have John at wake up.
Oh, come on. Okay. Let's all have a quiet talk together.
A beaten and battered family.
A nice quiet conversation.
I know when you wake up tomorrow, you won't tell me a thing. And that's fine.
I told you everything. I don't repeat myself.
I think you were lying quite a bit.
No.
Yeah.
When have I ever lied?
Most of the time.
No, but... Hey, can you tell him to keep it down? We're talking.
Hey, buddy. Hey. Hey. Good morning. Good morning. Hi. Gabe. Yes.
Gable.
Yeah, shh. Just lay down. It's fine. You're safe.
We're at the... hotel. Don't worry.
Travis, your arm.
Hold your applause.
Oh.
Because you can't, because you only have one wing?
Hey. I can't hold anything.
No fingers. It's fair. Yeah, hey, so I've been talking to Travis, which, as you know, is not a fun thing to do ever.
I'm sorry, Cable.
There's,
Hey, his, did you hear that?
Yes, thank you for noticing. Thank you for noticing. Someone notice when people change.
Well, scream every time I do it.
That's true.
And people just ignore it.
A lot of what Travis has been saying has been pretty nonsensical, so if you kind of piece it all together for me.
We got into some pretty heavy stuff.
Oh, no, really?
At the stadium.
Couldn't tell.
I know it's hard to believe, but we may have screwed things up.
Okay.
Much worse than we ever thought possible.
Okay.
And things were got real hairy at the stadium and
surrounded by
the Bandit Queen. I met the Bandit Queen.
What?
And she ruined everything.
What do you mean she ruined everything?
She pricked me. She pricked me, and then everything was hard, and everything was she screwed everything up. Gable,
I thought she was a metaphor.
No, she was real. And she's mean.
Oh,
and she's got a lot of tricks.
I know all the gossip about Ormar and the Bandit Queen. I'll catch you all up. It's very juicy.
Okay, we'll go.
Wait. Gable thought that Ormar was dicking down with a metaphor.
Never mind. Never mind.
Yes, I'll catch you all up. But first, how did... we end up with holes in some of our bodies.
No. I told you. Tell us the goss.
No. Well, okay. we escaped the stadium, and because the captain was carrying all of us, and I don't know how, I don't know if you told him to do this, but he jumped through a window, and it was at a bar, and
Jeez. And then told him everything he knows.
Then why did you tell him to do that?
Well, he's a very literal captain.
That's fair.
That's very true.
Not a whole lot of nuance there.
Mm-mm. And Tiberius was there, and I tried to open my eye, and that's when everything went dark for me.
You passed out?
I did.
Maybe that's for the better. You've been doing quite a lot today.
That felt like the only time it mattered, and I messed up real bad, but we're going to get him. We're going to get him. Are you okay, Travis?
I'm great, never better.
We have to make sure that he stays awake until sunrise.
Sunrise?
Yes.
We have to talk to him for that long?
I know. Pretty bad night all around.
Okay, well, how about...
Also, did you know that we're basically a flying foster care?
What?
Yeah, all the orphans... Whenever we go to a new port, we recruit new ones based on their abilities and our ability to help them, and then we release the ones that have been rehabilitated back into the world. We're actually doing a lot of good, and it's been...
That's what that was with Spit.
Is that how you...
Yeah, the third time we went to port, Spit pulled me aside and he asked me all these questions. And he asked me if I love working on the ship, if I want to continue working on the ship, and I said yeah, and then he said would I die for the crew, and I said yeah, and then he said when I die for the captain, and well, we kind of all know what's up with the captain, so I said no, and then he let me stay.
Huh?
He did the same thing to me because I look so young.
No.
You don't.
No.
How do you think you look young?
You can't tell how old a bird is.
That's true.
Pick a bird.
Quick question, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in kind of bird season right now, right?
Yeah, it's bird season.
And you've been a wolf before, but like...
I've never been a wolf.
Coyote. He's very picky about it.
Okay.
Isn't it funny that there are so many kinds of birds, but there's only coyotes?
That's true. That's the thing that is true about our world. There's no other thing, no other dog besides coyote.
And then just if there's just snake,
mm-hmm.
and then rabbit. Nobody mm-hmm. knows what kind. Just rabbit.
I think.
But raven's it, one. Raven's.
I think it is a kind. You just haven't bothered to.
No, I
figure
would,
it out.
I would know.
Okay. What was your question?
In a weird way, he did answer.
He answered it. Okay, that's great.
Just by reminding us all about how they're only one kind of snake and coyote and things like that. So, yeah,
But there's so many birds.
There's so many different birds.
We've seen all of them. It's been a very bird-heavy couple days. I love birds, but not that much.
Let's not go around and say our favorite bird.
Peacock.
Okay, I'm right here.
Travis is my favorite bird.
Thank you.
You know what? Travis, I don't know how you got us out of there, but...
You're welcome.
Thanks.
It was the trees.
What?
He said that there was a tree?
No. You're missing the forest for the trees. It was the woods inside.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to get kicked out of Pujanid?
Wouldn't be a magical party if we didn't. Right?
That's true.
Janet, I guess, offers up a high five to Travis.
He's like slaps his wing into it.
Janet, I'll offer you either a medicine check or a perception check, whichever is better for you.
Are they the same? Two green.
Average.
Average is two, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
These are dice, right?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah.
I rolled insanely good for the first, like, for the first part of this session, and then it's just been trash city. That is two failures and one threat.
I am going to say I just needed a binary result on that. That secret is not discovered tonight.
Oh, my gosh.
Johnny, you roll. You roll.
I'll roll.
You roll to perceive yourself.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
We can make it real hard.
Perceive yourself.
It's perception?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have pretty good perception. That's four green. I'm willing to do four purple.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I'm a betting man. I'll give myself a black as well.
No, because Johnny, please.
What are you doing? Yeah. I love it.
Because here's the thing. I got to earn it.
No.
And the other thing is I'll probably forget it in the morning anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... No.
Oh.
That's a two advantages.
It was really close, though.
Oh, that
dang
was,
it.
Damn.
Two advantages. You know, your head is ringing with the pain. There's just so much pain, and you're trying to talk through it. And the conversation that you have, that you're having is like very low and easy and smooth. They're keeping you awake, but you're still like lolling about and fading in and out. And you feel like something is comforting you and steadying you, but you don't have enough presence to think too much about it.
Anyone want a drink?
No.
John, rough night.
Yeah.
Rough night, big drinks. That's what I always say.
I'll take a small drink.
I really have to recommend ale with pomegranate.
The pomegranate?
I don't know. It doesn't sound like it would.
Do they have room service here?
They do.
Can we order room service?
Well, last time that happened, they just killed our friend, so who knows?
Oh, God. Gable has taken to, like, basically holding Travis like a burping baby, just bouncing him up and down because he keeps on falling asleep and pacing around the room. I would say we should plan for tomorrow, but we've been...
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The captain's face. Oh.
Yeah, that's one of
the
things.
Oh, he got shot. His face is like my wing. It's gone.
Are we going to... Can we fix that?
It'll grow back in the morning.
Does it grow back?
Yeah, it will not grow back.
No, every morning. Whatever happens to me, it stops the next
morning. No, Travis, we are not talking about you.
I think.
I'm sorry, what?
We are not. I'm talking about the captain.
Shh. We're talking about you.
Thank you.
Okay, we're talking about you.
We're talking about you.
Okay, so will Travis's jaw grow back? I don't think so.
I think we're going to just have to cover the captain's face.
Are people going to buy that?
What? We could get him a cool bandana, yeah. Like a big dog.
Like a big dog shirt. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, we could cut up one of my big dog shirts and make a bandana.
I think the captain has enough presence that he can really pull off any look he wants.
Yeah.
You guys really beat him up, huh?
No.
At least under my watch, the captain didn't get stabbed or shot, so.
Yeah, but how many people did he stab and shoot?
Not a lot, so.
Yeah, so we win.
Yeah, we won that.
I'd like to see you get your arm cut off.
I'd like to see that too. I wonder what would happen.
Jonnet.
Huh?
Give me a knife.
Nope.
No, I'm not going to do that.
No. Shh, okay. We'll cut off my arm in the morning.
Thank you.
I would say we should read the rules of the jazz, but I don't think knowing the rules of anything has helped us before. So.
You just throw the stick.
Hold the stick. You don't throw the stick.
That sounds like a good idea. We should actually maybe take a chance and read a rule book in earnest together.
Who are you?
Me?
Reading a
look. I'm learning to stargaze. I've been wayfinding. Also, I watched Travis in the bird competition, and it was a mess. Oh. Also. You got to say thank you to me because the whole reason I got pricked in the burnt by the bandit queen was because I was trying to help you out in the because you were getting attacked by the bird in the bird competition.
Did it work?
It did work, I think.
Say thank you.
Yes, Janet, say thank you.
No.
Travis.
I will let you fall asleep.
You couldn't. Yeah, I can't.
I'll stop talking. We'll stop talking right now. Talking to you. And you're going to lull?
You can't make me fall asleep. I'd like to see you try.
Goodbye and good night. Go to sleep, little birdie.
Here's the thing. If I fall asleep, that blood's on your hands. Oh,
no, the blood is on you.
Yeah, all you have to do is say thank you.
Thank you, Jonet.
Jonet.
Look, here's the thing. What was that?
Yeah, I was trying to be a bird.
Well, I'm not.
Was that offensive?
I'm not like really a bird, you know? I'm just like, you know that thing where there was some philosopher.
Damn it, we gave him ammunition to keep talking.
And he said, you know, what's it like to be a bat? But you can't know what it's like to be a bat. You can only know what it's like to be a person in the body of a bat.
Oh.
Because if you knew what it was like to be a bat,
you would just be a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, that's very interesting.
He gets it. My man.
No. Put your wing down.
I think Travis like wheels around with his wing up after being left hanging by Gable.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
No, Captain, put your wing down.
Up top.
Captain moves over and lightly high fives Travis.
You are able to control him so well.
Yes.
That's better than Dref used to be able to do.
Well, everything I do is better than Dref.
I don't know.
Well,
Dref was pretty great. He only just died.
Oh, are we not cool yet?
I think we're trying to be cool, but
wait, where's Dref's heart?
Hmm?
Where's Dref's heart?
In my pocket.
You don't have pockets.
Okay.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Everything changes with you when you change.
Oh my god.
I'll have pockets in the morning. It's not a big deal.
No, Travis.
You said that your stomach hurt?
Yeah.
It's because you got someone else's heart.
The captain has appendicitis.
And you can feel what the captain feels. You have a link to the captain.
Yeah, because we're good friends.
No, you hate the captain.
Well, I hate everyone.
And
hey, here's the thing. Nobody more than myself.
Oh.
Oh, buddy.
Oh, buddy. No, Travis.
Depression is an ongoing thing. Get him out.
Travis, you have Dref's heart inside of you right now.
In my pocket.
No, it's in your body.
It was in your pocket when you changed, and so it's now part of you.
Look, I've thought a lot about this. Because here's the thing. Every time I change, all the money in my pockets goes away. But I think that my clothes get very tiny and go inside me.
Okay.
So I think there's a little tiny coat inside of me that has a little heart and teeny tiny money.
That's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Why? Money's money. It doesn't matter what size it is.
But then you give me the money, and that money's been inside your body. I have to spend your body money. It's got you all over it.
Cash is king.
No.
So anyway.
I kissed Hildred.
What?
Yeah. I also healed an entire hospital, but that's why I cut off my hair. I talked to Leotoa and got all our money. And
money's inside of my tummy.
We're not going to get all the money all at once because I'm starting some rumors.
What? Cable?
Mm-hmm.
You kind of had like the exact opposite kind of day.
I'm feeling sassy. I've had a fun day where I talked to a friend and hung out with my crush, took a nice warm bubble bath and had a lot of emotional growth with a bunch of children.
Okay, that last one.
Yeah, I'm a kid.
Sounds a little weird. Yeah, but I always thought of you as like a... You know how...
Mm-hmm.
You know how Jeffrey the giraffe is a giraffe and not a kid, uh-huh. but he still hangs out with kids.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think you're like a giraffe. You're long of neck on the inside.
Really like that the legend of Jeffrey the giraffe is
alive and
part
well.
Of this world. He was just a giraffe that hung out with kids.
You could say that about any giant, really. Any gentle giant usually
finds their way into the company of kids.
Yeah, that kind of happens because other adults are just tall enough to be mean to them.
Mm-hmm.
But kids know what it's like to be different.
Wait, Gable, you cut your hair and healed a hospital?
And it you was... couldn't even help your friend. The bird.
I could try. I could do it right now. But that seems silly. Because I think you deserve this.
Because you still haven't said thank you for any of the times that I've helped you win or come out on top in any of these competitions.
Okay, well, the next time I win a competition, I'll thank you. But I don't know if you seem to remember, but this is a silver medal, not a gold medal.
You think how much more bronze that medal would look if that bird had gotten its claws into you?
Look, I don't even know what a bird is, Jonet.
What? He's going. He's falling asleep.
hey, no. Wake up. Wake up.
There's a ice bucket next to the bar that Gable just like dips him head first into. Wake up.
Oh, the forest has a lake. What?
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 I'm wet.
Yes.
Where's the woods?
The woods are... Oh, you're back.
Oh.
Wait a minute. Let's see what happens if we do that again.
No, now I know it was just a bucket.
Oh, damn.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to stick both of your heads in buckets.
Oh, you can't.
Good luck when you're that tiny little bird with one arm.
No, tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be a big man with two
but
arms.
Now you're just a bird with one arm. Jonathan starts poking the nub.
Hey.
What?
It's an open wound.
He pokes it one time.
Joke's on you. That blood's mine.
Ew.
Blood's on me.
Blood's on you. That joke's mine.
Jonet, how about you're, since we're all awake, how about you get the rule book and read it aloud to us? And we'll all learn together.
I'm not going to learn. I don't have to jest.
I need knowledge checks from each of you right now.
Why would you do this to me? What kind of knowledge?
And how hard?
It's... You know what? Based on the knowledges you have, this is going to be an average check. You're just trying to see if you learn any rules,
knowledge, any kind, whichever one we want.
Yeah, whichever one you feel is most applicable to reading a rule book.
Adventuring.
Yeah. One, exactly one advantage.
Hello, Travis learns best when he's dying. Mm-hmm. Three successes and two threats.
One success, one threat.
Okay.
My favorite thing about this is, like, I picture, like, we're all learning the same information, but it's just falling off of Gable's brain like a waterfall. Like, nothing.
You had the best day.
Nothing well, sticking.
I think Gable falls asleep first.
No.
What happens?
I'm big and strong.
Yeah. And you also had a generally good day.
Yes. Great day.
With some difficult emotional turmoil towards the end of it,
mm-hmm.
You fall asleep first, and I think you have relatively pleasant dreams. It's probably best that you fall asleep first anyway, because you've got a joust tomorrow.
Yes.
So there are three successes from Travis, mm-hmm. Holy cow. And how many successes from Jonet?
Just one.
I think we'll start with Jonet, and that any weapon apart from projectiles is legal in the joust.
All right. So I guess we're not allowed to do guns. So we should all just stick to more or less hand to hand or throwables. Well, throwables are kind of projectiles.
But you
no
could
guns.
Hit, you could hit someone with a gun.
Well, if it comes down to that, maybe it was just like, we'll just say that we won't opt in for guns.
I got a question.
What's up?
You think angels pee?
I think everybody pees, Travis.
We should stick Gable's hand in that bucket.
But it's ice cold.
Yeah, that'll make them pee.
Shouldn't it be warm? Shouldn't it be warming up?
I think... I don't know.
I got some magic.
John, this is such a valuable use of your magic.
Yes.
Please.
Yeah, I can't wait to see this try and pan out.
I'm going to use Arcana. I'm assuming it's going to be average.
Yep.
That is a triumph. Gable's gonna pee themselves. Wake up in a pool of pee because you got pranked.
I'm gonna triumph on piss play. I cannot. So upset.
Okay, well that's a triumph and one failure.
Oh, well, you failed then.
Wait, what? What?
Yeah. Triumph. So the triumph is something really, really good happens instead, but not the thing that you were trying to make happen.
Suck it. Suck it. Christ.
Okay, so here's what I think happens. Jonnet goes over to stick Gable's hand in this bucket. Gable shifts in their sleep and grabs Jonnet in their sleep by the scruff of his shirt, pulls him in, and cuddles him like a teddy bear.
That's a triumph?
That's it. That's your night.
And I'm like trying to like get out and then slow down and then kind of relax and then I can go to sleep.
Don't worry. I'll learn the rules. Captain, can you turn the page?
The captain walks over and turns the page. And the night passes, and Johnny, when I have finished writing up the rules, I will have three new rules for you. But you kind of read through the night, and the morning approaches, and the sun is about to start up. Like start its rise, and that's the sound the sun makes. The sun does make a sound.
Yeah, that's canon.
you are with the captain, and you're feeling this close connection, and you're seeing the damage on the captain, and something inside you tells you that you can do something about it. So the question that I have to ask you, Johnny, is does Travis try to do something?
Yeah.
How cautious is he about it?
I think it's close to morning, so not very, because he just has to make it to sunup.
That's true. I'll have you pull a luminary for
okay.
me. This has been super up and down for us the whole night.
My boy.
Oh, shit!
Oh,
Christ on a cracker.
Wow. On the friggin' nose.
Johnny pulls the changeling.
That's you.
So, we only gave the captain three wound points earlier, but I kind of think with his jaw getting blown off that he took another five. Mm-hmm. So he's at 8 damage right now. And essentially, what I think you can do is spend your strain and your wounds to heal the captain's wounds. Just like when the captain's legs broke on the civility and Dref's magic sort of healed them up to keep them going, I think you can expend the energy to do that. Dref, you know, was sparing with that energy because he had to live with it. But you can give all but the end of your life and walk away fine. So how much strain do you have?
I have 8. Yeah, I have 8 left.
8 left.
And I have 10 wounds left.
Let's see, 18. Yeah, you can do that. If you'd like, you can go within an inch of your life.
Yeah, let's do it.
Travis, you feel this connection with the captain, and your heart starts to race and quicken again. The captain sits down in a chair on the desk and faces you, and the two of you stare into each other's eyes. You can feel your life slipping away. And as you do that, you can see the tendrils of skin start to melt down the captain's face and reform. It takes this hanging jaw and slowly pulls it back up into place. You hear popping and cracking as new bones grow into place. And as you're starting to lose consciousness and fade from the world, the captain's jaws set in place. You have a moment of tranquility before the pain of the change starts as the sun begins to rise over Bujja Neath. And we move out of the window, above the Mori, moving up and up and up over the city, and turn our attention over to the fairground, where right now, working diligently, there are laborers building up the stadium for the joust, where this score and all others will be settled tomorrow. Hey heroes, it's James, your game master. Welcome to the campaign, Canned Midroll. I'm going to be traveling for the next couple of weeks, so I'm not going to have time to do careful, bespoke midrolls. So you're going to be hearing these exact phrases repeated several times over the next couple weeks. Hopefully it doesn't get too annoying. Heroes, the holidays are coming up, and my new book happens to be available right now. If you know someone that you love in your life who loves RPGs and actual play shows like what we've got here on One Shot, Critical Role, The Adventure Zone, or any of the hundreds of other wonderful programs out there, and they'd like their games to function more like those shows, then the Ultimate RPG Gameplay Guide is probably a good gift for them. In it, I try to break down my process to approaching RPGs, which has been informed by years of doing actual plays professionally. It also includes tons of tools and exercises to make that process easier. You can find an online or brick-and-mortar retailer by heading to bit.ly/RPG Gameplay. Or if you already have a book, you can leave a review on Amazon by going to bit.ly/Ultimate Gameplay. If you buy my book for a friend, you're also kind of buying a gift for me. Because I get royalties, baby! Before we get back to the show, I'd like to take a quick moment and thank some of our backers on Patreon. Jess Vetter, thank you so much. Lise B, thank you very much. Ryan Chilton, thank you so much. Daniel Spencer, thank you very much. Nicole Green, thank you so much, Nicole. Max Haselin, thank you so much. Sorry for the question mark there, Max. There are a lot of pronunciation symbols that I don't recognize in your name, but I think your email address managed to help me out. Let me know if I need to say that again. Ben Lee, thank you so much. Thanks again to all of our supporters on Patreon. We would not be able to make this show without you. One quick note before we return to the show. Unlike in previous years, One Shot and Campaign are going to be taking vacations on Thanksgiving and Christmas. Normally, One Shot doesn't skip a day, and I've been pretty much keeping that up with Campaign. This year, I'm trying to treat myself a little bit more reasonably. And frankly, there are also other people involved with the production of this program that I don't want to put out by making them work holidays. So prepare for those skip weeks. And now with all of that out of the way, let's get back in the sky. Let's turn to Travis. Travis is right now in the broker's office, sitting on a fainting couch, because until very, very recently, there were eight maelstroms off the coast of Bujaneeth, which were playing hell with the internal animal that drives Travis. Johnny, like, I think very suddenly, this supernatural, like, affectation that was over Travis has been lifted, like, the maelstroms stopped as suddenly as they started. What is Travis's state at this point?
I think he was, you know, kind of obviously worked up, very sweaty and clammy, like cold and sweaty. And I think, is it just like a light switch kind of like just immediately?
Very immediate. Like all of the maelstroms stopped and that will cause you instant relief.
Well, Mr. Broker, thank you for the couch.
The broker is not looking directly at you. In the time that you were disoriented, sitting on the fainting couch, the conference table has been cleared away and laid out on the floor in front of you is this massive circle of salt with candles inside it, different bones arranged in different areas, and there is a ring of spooky butlers who are chanting around this while the broker is overseeing things. Oh, good. You're up.
Yeah, I'm feeling much better now, so I will take my leave.
Oh, no. We are definitely going to need you here tonight. I am about to perform this spell, this ritual, and my sorcerers tell me that I will be quite indisposed after the ritual is completed. Most of the stress is going to flow off to our victims, but, you know, that is a good portion of human beings, and it will take quite a bit of my own personal reserves of strength, to promote that spell. So I'm going to need you to negotiate on behalf of Bujaneeth.
Well, I am an expert negotiator, but I would also like to know. What's in it for me?
Well, the way I see it, if we're not successful at this gambit, more red feather ships will be called in from command, and I don't think any Corsair vessel would be leaving this port or docking in this port ever again. Now, I think a man such as yourself would be far more concerned with the idea of leaving the port. But if we look at it in a long-term historical sense, perhaps if you were to rot away and die in a red feather jail cell, it might give you some small amount of comfort if you were to do that with the knowledge that, in fact, Corsairs could still dock in Bujaneeth.
I can tell you one thing. If I'm put in a jail cell, I won't be rotting away or dying.
Well, that is mighty optimistic of you. Regardless, the point still stands. We fight for the city tonight, and if we don't win, I do believe the Uhuru will suffer a more immediately grim fate than the city of Bujaneeth.
All right. You twisted my arm.
Excellent. Excellent, Mr. Madigo. Something told me that you would be exactly the sort of person that I would be able to depend on in this situation. Now, it's very simple. You're going to meet with Argus Westfield. He is the highest ranking member of the Red Feather Syndicate here. If things are timed exactly right, we are going to strike down his would-be apprentice in the jousting arena. Roughly is the same time that we are concluding our negotiations. That will be your ace in the hole. Argus is a canny negotiator, though, and I can assure you the Syndicate has been eyeing Bujaneeth to add to its collection of dominated cities for quite some time.
All right. Is there anything in particular I should know? Maybe his likes or dislikes? How can I butter him up? How can I tear him down?
Is that a serious question?
I can assure you, Mr. Broker, every question I have is serious.
Well, all right then. I could send some people to the information desk and they could, the reference desk, and they could grab a bit of a profile for you. If we put together a dossier, would you read it?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, then. How do I help you, Mr. Madigo?
I don't know. Just tell me his deal. Is he cool?
I mean, no, absolutely not. He's the head of reclamations for the Red Feather Syndicate. His whole job is to get things that have been taken from the syndicate, and they perceive themselves to be owners of many things that they do not, in fact, have a claim to.
Yeah, but like, you know... Is he cool? Can he hang?
Yes, Mr. Madigo, he can hang.
Okay, thank you.
He is more socially able than I am.
Travis hasn't met him, right? Me and John met Argus Westfield, right?
Yeah. You and John have met Westfield, but Travis most certainly has not.
Do you think we told Travis about him?
I don't think so, because remember, the thing that happened after that meeting was...
Yeah, draft dying, yeah. Sure.
So...
A big whoopsie, yeah.
Yeah, kind of a whoopsie.
Kind of the biggest whoopsie.
Yeah.
So far.
I mean, like a medium-sized whoopsie.
Yeah, that's pretty big whoopsie.
A little bit of whoopsie and some poopsie in there, too.
Yeah, that's creeping in there a little bit. This man... has held a position of high command in the Red Feather Syndicate for quite some time and has his own personal armada that he can dictate. He can also commandeer command from other Red Feather officers. The Reclamations Department has a little bit more legal leeway in most of the large cities that they deal with than the other departments. Even those who are fully designated pirate hunters don't have as much social capital as other departments within the syndicate do. He can go places they can't, and he can order strikes and attacks that the syndicate has more leverage to defend than any other. He's a very dangerous man.
Well, then you're in luck, Mr. Broker, because I too can be a very dangerous man.
Well, good, because I'm going to go threaten him.
Huh?
The broker, like, pulls up his robes a little bit, exposing very, very, like, thin white ankles. And like finely made velvet shoes as he carefully steps over the salt and symbols and bones that have been laid into this circle. Oh, yes, that's right. I was hoping that I could trouble you for some blood.
Ooh.
Whose?
Yours, you. I was hoping I could trouble you for some blood.
For what?
I would like you to give me your blood.
How much?
Give him the blood.
Some?
Give him the blood.
I mean, no more than a pint.
Why?
Give him a pint of blood.
Oh, well, see, these are all the spooky butlers that I have at command tonight. Mm-hmm. The rest of my forces are marshaled downstairs in case of a Red Feather attack while we're casting this spell. So... And I will be far too weakened after the spell. So I need everybody here to be at the, you know, top condition they can be in, excepting you.
So you need them to, what, eat my blood?
No, I don't need anyone to eat your blood, Mr. Madigo. I merely need you to spill some into a goblet.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? What time is it?
It is, I think, pre-evening, because like we're at the final joust competition. I think the joust probably starts during the day and ends in the early evening.
What time will the negotiation be?
The negotiation's going to be at night, my dude.
Okay.
Oh,
Mr. Wait. Broker, I've got two questions.
Yes.
One, what if Orimar Vale goes to the negotiation?
Bo, can we get him?
Yeah, I can get him.
And well, that would be fantastic.
Great. And second, where's a big old knife for me to slice my hand open?
Can one of you?
Oh, yes, sir.
And he makes some vague gestures with his
knife. Here's your knife. This is quite the slasher. I actually call it slasher. Hello, I'm Spooky Butler number 7.
I was going to get here first, but I'm too slow. I have a little button knife. It's going to be no good, isn't it?
No, you're fine. Show him the knife. He'll pick his favorite.
I didn't even start moving over there until just now.
I'm sorry. I'm just getting here. I was in the loo, as Spooky Butlers will do.
Wait. Please spare us no detail of your story.
I would love to hear about the movement you had.
I'm going to cry because of it.
It's so beautiful, your movements.
I brought my knife into the bathroom.
Let's do something else before we talk about this for real now.
Fair. You can go ahead and pick your knife, Mr. Travis.
Yeah, we're just going to keep on taking it.
Just to be clear,
Johnny,
the knife
please pick
is
one of
clean.
These knives.
I will pick this.
Because it will have real consequences.
Okay, so we've got one butter knife, one bathroom knife.
And one big knife.
I'll take the big knife, obviously.
Oh, all right. Shucks. Another one goes for the big knife, and nobody wants my butter knife.
Oh, you're lucky I was over here, and I didn't even take out my knife until just now.
Oh, your knife is more of a spoon, isn't it?
It is spoon, but it is sharpened spoon.
Oh, all right.
That's a fork, and a spoon fork, and you know it. A spork.
Why didn't any of us talk before the rest of this arc? We're a lot of fun, aren't we?
Mr. Broker, the spookiest thing about these butlers is really their intelligence. It's spooky that someone could be.
Whoa, that's hurtful.
We've been accurate in it.
Okay, I'm gonna cut my hand open now. Okay. Are we all done?
Yeah, you made your choice.
Gentlemen, please, if you would back to the circle.
All right, and going silent in 3, 2, 1.
Oh no.
Great. So I assume we have some blood from Travis.
Yeah. I think he made a pretty dramatic production of it. Because he knows it'll be better soon. So just kind of like really going for it.
Cool. Yeah, Travis, you bleed into this gauntlet or this goblet. And one of the more sorcerially dressed spooky butlers will grab the gauntlet from you and head over to a small cauldron, pouring your blood into the mixture. It smokes up dramatically as the mixture reaches a boil, and they spend some time ladling out this red potion into several small vials, which are tied to raven's feet, or which are given to ravens, and they fly off throughout the city. This process probably takes a good 20-25 minutes. It takes so much time because there are so many bottles and there is so much potion to be distributed. There are several hundred birds you feel like you see just take a vial and fly off somewhere else in the city. Once the potion has been distributed, the broker, kneeling in the middle of this circle, gives the group around him a nod. And simultaneously, the spooky butlers sitting around the ring take out their knives, and they each cut off a finger.
What a fun development.
They drop with a soft thud onto the salt circle. And You can see blood start to pool around the fingers, and it mixes into the circle. And getting an above shot of the circle, we can see this blood start to spread out throughout the salt design until the entire thing is crimson, and it begins to glow lightly. And then the broker's eyes open, and we can see they are also a blazing crimson red. We cut to different shots around the city. We can see ravens flying through the night sky, peeling off in a massive flock, moving to different parts of the city. The broker's office is very centrally located, and it's a short time before the ravens have positioned themselves strategically near different groups of red feather soldiers around the city. One by one, each raven brings itself into position, slowly circling over these groups of soldiers, and then the vials start to drop. Each soldier recoils quickly, but in every group there is one unlucky soul who does not move back quickly enough. Red vapors rise up out of the smashed jars and are breathed in by these unfortunate people. And their eyes start to glow in turn with the brokers. All over the city, in the quietest parts, the parts separated from the competition itself, you can hear the broker's voice, spoken in the voices of 100 different people simultaneously.
Hello? Hello, my attention. I am entreating Argus Westfield to a parlay. I have reduced the number of your soldiers in this city by 10%, and by the end of this evening, I intend to reduce the Red Feather presence in this city by 30%. And there's nothing that you can do about that. However, I am willing to negotiate for the future of my city. I have selected a representative. Orimar Vale of the Uhuru will meet you to parley. I intend to see Red Feather presence reduced in this city. I intend to receive payment from the Red Feather Syndicate for losses made on my acquisitions because of your actions, and I intend to get free movement for my allies and myself for the next 48 months. If you would like to negotiate these terms to be different, I suggest you meet in my offices to speak with my representative by Sunday. If not, I will reduce Red Feather presence in this city by 50%, and I will pursue further action to recoup the losses that I have incurred at your hand, Mr. Westfield. If those terms are acceptable to you, I will see you this evening. If not, prepare for a very difficult night.
With that, each of the people who was afflicted by the broker's spell exhale. A crimson mist leaves their mouths. Their bodies are left pale and stricken, eyes rolling back into their heads. They collapse to the ground and convulse, dying on the spot. It is a grim few minutes as their allies sit by their side, try to coax them back into the world of the living. Some try medical ministrations, others resort to magic, to no avail. There is nothing they can do to stop the vultures who come for them minutes later. And the broker's message is complete.
Jeez.
Oof. We return to the broker's office. where he has collapsed in the center of the circle. One of the freshly bandaged spooky butlers has wrapped up, with their hand wrapped up, goes to the center of the circle and lifts his body out of it, bringing him over to Travis Madigo. Mr. Madigo.
Yes?
I entrust to you the safety of my city.
Oh, he sure, yeah.
Sits his head up as much as he possibly can in his weakened state. Mr. Madigo, do not disappoint me. I am accustomed to disappointment.
Oh.
But I have grown to develop ways of dealing with it. Do you understand?
Sure.
What does that mean?
Very good. And he passes out. And a crew of staff begins to clean up the office and prepare it for a parlay. At which point, another spooky butler moves over to Travis.
Oh, Mr. Madigo. This is the voice that we decided spooky butlers have.
And in it.
I can't say I'm a fan of it, but here we are.
Doesn't have to be. They could be spooky butlers from all over the world.
Ah, that's right.
No. That's only chefs.
Mr. Madigo. Mr. Madigo.
There it is.
Will Oromar Vale need accompaniment to come to the parlay?
I think... Or he'll probably bring his trusted avian friend.
Ah, I see. Yes, yes. It is good to have a companion animal. Mm-hmm. It relaxes the nerves. Shall we collect your captain now?
You know, I think I'll go get him myself. I'll see you around. Of all the butlers I've met, you are easily the spookiest, I will tell you that, my friend.
We will be watching, Mr. Madigo.
Okay. Hey, your voice is spooky and the things you say with your voice are spooky.
I appreciate your constructive feedback.
It wasn't really constructive, it was more observational. Just letting you know. No need to change anything.
Then I appreciate that constructive feedback. Unless,
well, okay, that's fair. That's fair.
They're hungry.
So
to
anyway,
improve.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Would this you is... like to take a quick survey of about the service that you have received in the broker's office?
There is a chance that you can win $1,000 gold coins.
What kind of chances are we talking? Like,
I mean, it's everyone who's taken the survey.
Okay, how many people have taken the survey?
Well, it depends. Well, we reset the count every 3 months.
Okay.
It's quite a few.
So it depends on how heavy the month has been.
Yes. So far, there have been 45 people that have taken the survey. Also, not bad.
Chances are pretty good.
Okay, but how close to the end of the cycle are we?
We have 2 months and 28 days.
Okay, then I like those odds. I will give it a try. I will do the survey.
All right,
okay.
Question one. Who are you?
Travis Madigo.
Question two.
Question two, on a scale of 1 to 5, one being the least and 5 being the most, how likely are you to recommend the services of a broker to a friend, family, or loved one?
Which services? Guarding your friend from being killed? 1. Killing a bunch of people in town? 5.
It's kind of all the services, so...
Then I guess a 3.
Deal.
Just a 3?
Yeah.
Question 3, this is free answer. If please describe any services you would like to see the broker provide in the future with us. This is the exit for sure. Uh-huh.
You're doing spa great. Services would be nice.
What to say?
Spa services?
Oh,
spa
yes. Services. Well, then, how much would you be willing to pay for added spa service treatment services?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess it depends on the service.
It is very good.
What kind of question is that? What kind
We're thinking maybe a massage with
many petty standard.
An exfoliating mask.
Okay, a massage, the exfoliating mask and a mani-pedi, I don't know, $200?
Great.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Great.
Okay. And finally, scale 1 to 5, 1 being the least and 5 being the most. How much do you agree with the following statement? I could not imagine life without the broker.
1.
Okay. Thank you very much for taking our survey. If you win, you'll receive a notification via a raven.
And then I have to, bury a raven?
No, a vulture will come take it. Yes. The raven will
But
die
you must
in the process,
respond yes. to the raven's message within 48 hours, or else we will reset and roll over the prize money to the next.
All right, here is a coupon you can give to a friend if you are a further friend and just say you met with the broker and his servants 1, 2, and 3 on this day. You will get 20% off your next service. Just remember, here's the serial number. Keep the serial number.
You need to keep that serial number.
We will not be able to track without the serial number. Thank you so much.
Here, I will circle it with a highlighted pen.
Okay, so I'm going to go...
Yes, please. This was an optional survey. You could leave whenever you wanted.
Well, I was intrigued and then annoyed.
Oh, well.
Isn't that always the way?
Yes, yes, yes. Such is the life of a spooky butler. All right, we're going quiet.
Anyway.
Going quiet in 3, 2, 1.
What?
We cut away to the joust. Scotty Jacks. All right, we return once again to a long line of prospective sky pirates in front of the Uhuru. I should have actually read this thing,
Is it nasty?
This description before I started it. I got to make sure it's not too nasty.
We're only accepting horny applicants today.
I'm only accepting ones I hate.
If you're dry or soft, turn around.
I want a character like a sponge.
So we return to that long line of applicants in front of the Uhuru. We see many colorful characters that wish to one day be sky pirates. One of them leaves the line, confidently walks up to the table, and places down his headshot and resume before sitting on the stool. He appears to be a middle-aged man with dark hair that's going a little bit gray and balding. He's also wearing a fine striped suit.
Hello. A fine striped suit or a fine striped suit?
Are we impressed?
I'm sorry, is this Johnny O'Mara or...
Either way.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance. My name is Fig.
Fig?
Fig?
Pardon?
Fig?
Yes, Fig Wooster.
Fig Wooster. Interesting. What is your background, Mr. Wooster?
Yeah, what brings you to the Uhuru?
My background is in finance. I did a little bit of trading here, a little bit of trading there, and now I'm looking to getting into piracy.
Would you describe yourself as a capitalist?
Yes.
Next! One.
Well, I'm can actually, see that we have Mabel, some millennials on this crew.
Here's the thing. Everyone gets one next, and we cannot deny it. So you've been nexted, so we're going to have to ask you to get off the bus.
Get the next boy off the bus, please. Yeah. We'll see the next.
Now, see here. See here. I waited on this long line all day, and I will have you consider my application.
Look, here's the thing. You have to let us next you, or we can walk around your bedroom with a black light. We will raid your room. Mm-hmm. Those are your two options.
And it'd be super embarrassing if there's something on there.
And we know there is.
We need three facts about yourself, one of which is a very embarrassing pun.
Okay. Wait. One moment. if I'm to understand, if I consent to continue this interview, you could check out my crib.
No, that's not what we said. We said we would raid your room. Yeah, there's a big difference.
Okay, well, this is the real world, and I will not have you propose such a ridiculous criteria for joining our crew.
Let me be clear. Well, this is not the real world. This is the challenge.
And I challenge you, sir, to get
you've
out.
You've got to learn the rules of the road. Another option that we could give you is we could put you in a haunted house with a camera on your face and see how long you could stay in there while you listen to Voodoo by Godsmack.
I will not be undressed before this crew of people. I deserve my dignity and my privacy.
Well, I mean, we are all eligible. We are an eligible crew here, and we are looking for that one special someone. And I honestly, I don't think that's you.
You must take me for some butt-headed Beavis, and I will not have it.
You're sounding like a real moon man with all these crazy ideas, sir.
I'm sorry, do you have any VJs? We want to make sure everyone's very healthy. That's it. Okay. You know, we've done it. I think we can hit all the things. Just because my joke wasn't very good, that's fine.
I would like to establish some road rules for...
We already did that one.
Oh, did we?
Yeah,
did we interviewed do road a real rules bozo versus today. The real world yet? Have we hit that one?
Yeah, we did that one,
I demand a celebrity death match. In order to join your crew, I'll face your strongest celebrity.
Who would that be?
Well, I mean, that's gotta be
Pauly Shore.
Yes, Pauly. We're gonna go get Pauly. Pauly.
He's busy wheezing the juice at the moment. He can't.
I see.
Anyway, what was your real thing?
Yeah.
I do finance. I'm a confident businessman.
Oh yeah, next.
I'm sorry, man. You've been nexted. We're just going to have to, I'm just going to, thank you. Thank you. I'll take this headshot, have this resume. All right.
I'll take this suit. Thank you.
All right. And you give me that belt. Thank you.
I see.
All right.
Ooh, that's going to be, I'm going to take. Thank you. All right. Okay.
Take that ring, pinky and index. Thank you. All right. Ooh, a monocle. Okay. Ooh. Take that.
Anything else you want to say for yourself?
My harumphing monocle.
And I'm going to take that mustache. Thank you.
As soon as you take off the mustache, this person disappears into a big pile of squirrels and runs away.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, a small pile of squirrels.
James.
Was that in there?
I don't want to do these anymore.
I would not do another one of those. I couldn't figure out how to end it after you nexted him immediately.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing. You can find more great gaming shows over at OneShotPodcast.com. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter at @TylerADave. On main stage with Second City, or at I.O. with Devil's Daughter. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @Liz___, or on her podcast, Paired. Travis Madigo was played by Johnny O'Mara, who can be found on Twitter at @JohnnyInBriefs, or on his podcast, Dilettante Ball. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at @OneShotRPG, or on my other podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this production was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find Arnie on Twitter at @ArnePArrott. And you can find more of his work at atptunes.com. This episode was edited by Casey Tony, who can be found on Twitter at @CaseyPony, spelled CaseyPony, or on his own podcast, Neoscum. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at @FionaPup. The world of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and the card game Illimat, property of Together Studios. The role-playing game used for this production is a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system published by Fantasy Flight Games. There are no kings. Take flight, heroes.
since you've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.